Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton, all the way from New York City. David, I don't know, I guess I ought to start the show by saying this. We are taping this Monday. Things are...
You may be ruptured by Tuesday.
Yeah, it's... There is a good possibility. I will load this show on all the systems and all the podcast platforms, all the social media platforms, so where it'll play. But I'm not going to guarantee we're going to be here to see it.
things are nuts out there.
Yeah, things are getting a little bit crazy.
We're on the fast train, as you can see.
Well, I'll tell you this. I expect a lot of people are going to hear this. I really do. And if you begin to hear that, it's too late. You should have dropped to your knees earlier. I'm just going to be really blunt with you, okay? The rapture is overdue. It is imminent. It could happen at any second. It could happen before we even finish the taping today. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ yet, you better get it done, and you better get it done right now.
We got
earthquakes going on in Israel, Syria, and Lebanon. We got earthquakes going on in Los Angeles. We got earthquakes going on in Japan. All this prophesied in the Bible as signs of the last days.
Well, some people will say, oh, we've always had earthquakes.
Yeah.
And it's not the point. The point is they're 10 times more than they used to be, and they're converging with all the other signs, putting it together. And that's really it. It's the convergence of all the signs.
It's the convergence, right. It's the fact that everything is happening at once for the first time. And if you look at what's going on in the Middle East right now, if you don't think that Israel is about to come under attack and probably has been attacked by the time that this show airs, well, if you may be watching the wrong news outlet. So anyway, we're going to help you today. We're going to tell you all about this. And the big question, David, is when we're raptured or when the rapture occurs, do we really disappear in an instant? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to give it. We're going to talk about it in such a way that you have probably never heard this, no matter if you go to church every week or if you've never even heard the rapture before. It's something that's going to really wake you up. And before we do that, I also want to make this clear. We're not calling it. You know, we're not saying that this is definitely what's going to happen. We're putting the possibility out there. And I think it's a pretty strong possibility based on some pretty effective or pretty big evidence, don't you, David?
So yeah, well, it's getting beyond a reasonable doubt at this point. You know, we're here. I know I've been watching personally since the 80s and thinking, oh, could this be it? Could that be it? I even remember thinking in 93, it's like, okay, 7-year tribulation, that brings us to 2,000 years. Maybe. Let's look in 93. And then, you know, then you say, oh, we needed this, we needed that. And it's just, it's that much faster, that much closer together, and that much more. It's like, I remember looking for stuff back then. And as you know, today, we can't keep up with all the prophecy that's happening moment by moment.
Well, you know, I was telling David before we even started taping yesterday, I was in church, and, you know, I keep my phone, I can always keep the volume level way, way down, but you know, as many kids as I got everywhere that could have any kind of issues or whatever, I always make sure, you know, I could at least hear my phone. I keep it real, real low, but the thing started going ping, I mean, right, and then it was like ping, ping. Ping, ping, ping. And so I muted my phone and started looking at the messages, and it was very, very clear that Israel is about to come under attack, and they are taking measures to make sure they're going to be okay. But this has been going on now for 2 days, and we talked about this on a show not too long ago. That you're going to have to say what the name of this is again, the bad day for Israel and all that. But
Tisha B'Av.
I can't even say it, but anyway,
Tisha, and then B'Av.
Av. Okay.
Yeah, basically, well, it's the ninth of Av.
Okay. And that actually falls on what would be Monday night, Tuesday night for us here in the United States. And it appears like that's exactly when they're going to hit. And this is what we talked about on a previous show. We predicted mm-hmm. this date. And I haven't had time to go back there and look at it again, but I will, or you guys can go on our channel and look it up, because it's in there. I promise you it's there. So mm-hmm. Anyway, we are, I actually got goosebumps, David, you know, just mm-hmm. looking at what's going on today. I mean, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, we're here.
Yeah.
We're right up against
it. We are here.
Yeah. So got some news I do want to get out of the way. And you're going to, surprise, surprise, it's Israel. Okay. So mm-hmm. anyway, let's
start.
Well,
we got some Ukraine, but that's kind of fits
yeah,
in.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Let's look at this one real quick.
A U.S. military base in eastern Syria was hit by a one-way drone, as confirmed by a U.S. defense official.
Initial assessments do not suggest any injuries from the attack, though the official noted that medical evaluations and damage assessments were still ongoing. There was an attack using a one-way attack, uncrewed aerial system, OYUAS, against U.S. and coalition forces at Rumalin landing zone in Syria, said the defense official. Joseph Eckerson reporting.
And the Biden administration has not responded to that yet. And, you know, it's our base getting hit. And I don't know if the administration is going to do something or not. Maybe they will have by the time this airs. I don't know. But apparently they're not very afraid of the United States of America if they're going to pull this off.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, he's still trying to figure out if he's running for president or not.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, they took me out.
Well, now, I do want to, I guess we ought to go to get Ukraine out of the way, right? And then we can
yeah.
really focus on Israel. So let's listen to this one.
Ukraine's unprecedented cross-border incursion into Russia has entered its seventh day. Russia says it's evacuating residents from a second region as fighting continues along its western border. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
Authorities in Russia's Belgorod region said evacuations had begun from the Krasnaya Ruga district due to the increase of Ukrainian military activity along the border and a possible expansion of the ongoing incursion. Ukrainian forces have continued their operations since their offensive into Russia's Kursk region began last Tuesday in what has now become the biggest cross-border raid since the full-scale invasion began. The attacks caught Russia by surprise, prompting mass evacuations and allowing Kyiv to advance as much as 30 kilometers into the Kursk region. Moscow imposed a sweeping security regime in the regions of Kursk, Bryansk, and Belgorod last Friday. Kyiv broke its silence on the incursion over the weekend when President Zelensky, in his nightly video address, said he received reports from Ukraine's top commander on, quote, actions to push the war onto the aggressor's territory. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
Stupidest thing that he could have ever done, in my opinion, is to
take
his
troops too.
Inside of Russia. You mm-hmm. know, if you think that Vladimir Putin is going to sit there and say, oh, that's fine. Go ahead. Hit us. Go ahead. God. No problem. You are out of your mind. There's going to be major retaliation, and don't be surprised if tactical nuclear weapons are involved. He's not going to put up with it, David. He's just not. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I mean. This is what Derek was talking about the other day. It might not be oil. Maybe it's mm-hmm. something that just ticks him off so bad that he has to respond, Gog and Magog. Not that mm-hmm. he is the Gog, but he might be.
Right.
So, yeah, they're coming to a point where he's going to draw them in regardless. And this. Mm-hmm. It's definitely one of the possibilities, but you know Zelensky didn't do this. I mean, look at his history. He's just a clown, you know, weirdo actor that they put in there because they can control him, just yeah. like the one we are promoting right now. So he didn't go in there on his own. No. Guarantee you, he's
well,
being controlled,
problem.
And
that's the problem,
the others
David.
Are
That is the problem, because this looks like a NATO invasion.
Exactly.
I mean,
and they're looking for an excuse to do something to Russia, and if Russia responds to this, then they have their excuse.
Yeah. Well, Russia is already letting people know that they feel like they're being invaded by NATO and that they are going to do something about it. So, you know, that's the reporting I'm getting. And right now it's real sketchy because this is just happening. You know, they're trying to figure out exactly how hard they're going to hit back. But don't be surprised if there's not some attacks in some NATO countries coming up, you know. It could very easily happen. You know, Russia's okay with, you know, tit for tat, right?
Yep. And drawing them in.
Yep.
That's what it says, like a hook in the jaw.
All right. Well, now we're gonna focus almost this entire show on the rapture and now what? Okay.
Now what?
And you can see the up there on the top, it says, will Christians really disappear in an instant? And then I've got the answers there are yes, no, yes and no.
Possibility.
Yeah, I mean,
all of the above.
Let me say this. I was always under the impression, and we have a dear friend that has written a book on this stuff, right?
Three books.
Yeah, I think it's in its sixth edit or seventh edit now. Anyway, I have always been convinced, just as he is, that at the moment of the rapture, you're just like, gone instantaneously, boom, you're out of here, right? And that is not necessarily true.
That's how I ran into him, actually. Said wait a minute.
So I'm going to continue with the news, but I want you guys to understand we're going to answer this, but we're not going to say this is definitely what's going to happen. It's just another observation. But the thing is, I'm beginning to believe it a lot. Okay. So anyway, let's continue moving on here, because the media, the mainstream media, of course, they can't lay off Israel for a second. Here we go.
An Israeli airstrike targeted a school-turned shelter in Gaza early Saturday, resulting in at least 80 fatalities and injuring nearly 50 others, according to Palestinian health authorities.
This incident is the most recent in what the UN Human Rights Office described as systematic attacks on schools by Israel, with at least 21 such incidents since July 4th, resulting in hundreds of deaths, including women and children. For many, schools are the last resort to find some shelter and possible access to food and water, the office stated shortly after Saturday's attack. Benjamin Wright reporting.
Yeah, that's all nonsense. 100% nonsense. What they are doing is the terrorists are hiding in schools and they're hiding behind civilians, and they give Israel no other choice but to go in there and take care of the problem. And if civilians are killed, you blame that on Gaza. You don't blame that on Israel, because if they just let them go, we're fine.
Targets on them.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so if they want to go where everyone else is, the target's still on them, and that's their problem, you know, for a coward to go and run and hide behind women and children, and then, you know, stick their nose at you when you shoot at them anyway. They're just mental, you know. Honestly, they're just mental. But that's where we are, the end of the age, right?
They're evil, is what they are.
Yeah.
Now you have to understand that these numbers that they're coming up with, this is all provided by Hamas.
Yeah.
I mean,
who randomly makes stuff up.
How in the world?
They roll a dice. Okay, which number are we going to use today?
Yeah. let's see. One thing that I think is really cool about this, though, I got this from the Associated Press on this very incident, and it said that the ministry did not tell them how many of the dead and wounded were combatants. Okay, well, that's convenient, don't you think? You know, we'll just say the whole bunch of civilians were killed, when in fact it was probably more like all the terrorists got killed, and there was a little bit of collateral damage. There has to be, and that's happened in every war in the history of the world, right? All right.
Yep.
Well,
but you know, Satan's gonna lie. That's the deal.
Yeah. Well, one thing, they were going to have a ceasefire talks again on Thursday.
Right.
And Sinwar is the big leader of Hezbollah. He hasn't been seen in a long time. You know, they got him hidden as best they can. But from what I understood, he was in favor of doing something. And then all of a sudden, for no reason at all, as is always the case with these Palestinian terrorists, as soon as you've got an actual day and a real time to go and negotiate things, no, we're not going to go.
No, we're not. That's their ruse. That's how they do it. Hey, well, you know, we'll lead them on with, you know, we'll lead them on. Oh yeah, we're going to talk. Oh, okay, you can stop shooting us now. We're going to talk on Thursday. We're going to talk on Thursday. Right? And then, sure enough, that day comes and they run away like little girls again.
Mm-hmm. Well. Again, according to the Associated Press, the leaders of France, Germany, and Great Britain have all endorsed a push for a ceasefire in Gaza. So,
good for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Good for them. You know, what do they have to do with it? Because
all right, then stop shooting in Gaza because we're going to keep doing it.
Until Hamas shows up, you know, and they agree to a deal that Israel is ready to deal. Okay. So, but until they show up, there can't be a deal. So I guess we got to blame Indonesia or something, right? I mean, it's crazy.
It's a pretty simple deal. Israel, hey, here's the deal. Just give us our hostages back and we'll stop blowing things up. Yeah. You know, we'll stop coming after you. But they can't even just do something so simple as that. It's not, they're not unreasonable at all.
Well, unfortunately, heard several reports today of a Israeli hostage that was murdered by the captive there, you know, the captor. And he also did some damage, a couple of others that were injured badly. And they are taking responsibility for that. You know, I think it's a terror. It's a terror tactic is how I look
at
it.
Yeah, it's a threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm going to do this to the rest of them if you don't stop.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're going to do it if we do stop. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're going to do it regardless of anything.
Yeah.
Then you got the Vatican. The Vatican's calling on Iran to embrace dialogue, negotiation, and peace. I don't know what.
Yeah. Like that'll happen.
Pope's going to have. I mean, I'm sure they're really going to listen to the Pope, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Hamas? Why not? He's the vicar of Christ, isn't he?
Then you got Lufthansa, Air France, and Irish low-cost carrier Ryanair have all suspended flights into the Middle East because they're expecting there to be that retaliation. They don't want to get an aircraft shot down. I understand that.
Mm-hmm. But now the Israeli army has actually called back everyone on vacation immediately.
Yes, I saw that yesterday. That was, I mean, and they wouldn't do that unless they didn't think that they needed, all hands on deck, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So here we go. And they were expecting it, getting ready for Tisha B'Av.
Yeah. And to tell people again about that day, because it does have a great deal of significance.
Yeah, the 9th of Av. I mean, basically, you got a lot of destruction happened to Israel on what's called Tisha B'Av, or the 9th of Av. And it started with the Solomon's Temple was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Mm-hmm. And then 2,000 years later, the newer one was, 2,000 years ago, I mean, what? The one that Jesus predicted was also on the 9th of Av. Mm-hmm. And several of their events, I believe, I got to check it out, but Ruth, that when Haman tried to kill them all, that was the 9th of Av. And there was a lot of things that happened on the 9th of Av. So they kind of expect it. And they're always on guard on this day. Mm-hmm. And that would be today. So,
yeah. I mean, it's here.
That's why they called everyone home. And with the current situation, they're like, okay. Let's be prepared.
Yeah. I mean, it's here, you know, I, I told David, you know, I got goosebumps getting the reports that I've been getting for a couple of days now.
We've been talking about this, and it's just, it's escalating quicker and quicker.
Well, you know, and that was one of the things that, you know, once this starts, it's supposed to speed up. So, you know, if you think things have slowed down, show me.
Yeah.
Because used to, we could put a show together and, you know, pretty much stick to the script, even though it's unscripted. I mean, you know, stick to the topic, whatever the topic was, and fight to make it through, you know, because there just wasn't too much going on. We knew things were going in that direction, but we, you know, had time to work on it. Well, now don't. I mean, it's like I was telling you, ping, 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 all day yesterday, all day today. It's just been one thing after another. One thing that stands out to me is the earthquakes, because you got the earthquake over there in Israel, Syria, Lebanon. You got the earthquake in Los Angeles. You got the earthquake over in Japan and others. And these are all, these are never tiny ones. These are little bitty ones. These are powerful earthquakes that are all beginning to hit in various places exactly the way the Bible said would happen. So, you know, that's one clue. Wars and rumors of wars. There's another clue. Then you got famines going on everywhere. That's another clue. And you got pestilences. You know, that's happening all over. Remember when we closed the world down for over a year? Okay, well, there's more coming to that. And, I mean, there's even one state.
They don't need to.
There's one state that's already trying to re-implement the mask-up policy. You know, I mean.
You're kidding.
No, it's already coming, you know, and it seems like it's California again. I could be wrong on that. Could be wrong on that one, but I do know it's happening. So, anyway.
They already figured out it doesn't work, so they're going to do it again.
Well, I'm staying away from politics because this is too much important. This is too important, okay? This is going to apply to Democrats, to Republicans, to independents, to communists, to socialists, to Buddhists, to Hindus. It's going to apply to everybody. The rapture is coming. It's imminent. It's going to happen.
And let me tell you this, folks. The world leader, the true world leader, is coming. There's going to be one that's going to pretend to be him. Mm-hmm. But then when the king comes, you're going to know who the king is. There's not going to be a vote. You're going to do what he says.
Yeah.
And that's the name of that tune. If you don't, you know, there's this nice burning lake that you're going to be thrown into. So you might as well get ready now, because you'll bow your knee now and or worship later. Him as Lord, or you're going to bow your knee later and it's going to be forced upon you.
Yeah, and you don't want that to happen. You just don't. All right, now we're going to kick over now into Israel. It's Israel from here on out. So we'll start with this right here.
Israel has ordered tens of thousands of Palestinian civilians to leave shelters in southern Gaza ahead of fresh strikes on areas Israel say harbor Hamas militants. The forced evacuations come as the death toll from an Israeli airstrike on a school sheltering displaced Palestinians in Gaza City on Saturday reaches at least 90, an attack which has prompted international outcry. The leaders of the UK, France and Germany have called for there to be no further delay to Gaza ceasefire negotiations. The joint statement issued by Prime Minister Keir Starmer, President Emmanuel Macron and Chancellor Olaf Scholz on Monday also warned Iran and its allies of risking regional escalation. Hamas cast doubt over the weekend on whether it will participate in renewed negotiations, with Hamas's new leader Yahya Sinwar seen as a hardliner following the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh in Iran.
Okay. Again, these leaders that are calling on a ceasefire, they got nothing. What can they do? I mean, or else what?
Or else what? Or else we're going to tell you again to do it.
And then today, another one of them pings I got. Today, they asked Joe Biden somehow. I don't know if he was walking the route or what. I just saw the report come out that you know, they were asking him about what's going on over there. What you know? What's the stance? Guess what he said.
What kind of ice cream they have?
Don't.
Ah.
Isn't this like the second or third time we've had a don't? And and every time he says don't, they do. And I haven't seen any kind of anything else come from him at all. And The same goes for his vice president, Kamala Harris. She hadn't said a word either. You know, so
well, he takes that cue from Obama. Obama would say that all the time. I'm going to draw this line.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Yosemite Sam and Bugs Bunny. I dare you to cross this line. Okay. Now this one. Okay. Now this one. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is getting serious, David. I mean, it's not getting serious. We're past serious now. We're down to, I can't do anything but urge you guys to accept Jesus Christ. I can't make you do it. But I'm telling you, you got a chance right now. But once this happens, you are going to go through hell. You know, and it's something that you don't want to mess with. You just don't. Pick up a Bible. And, you know, David, I think you referred to Revelation already. If not, you're going to later, I know.
We'll get there.
And, you know, you can avoid all this stuff. Okay, I mean, all you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's really easy. You just say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I know Jesus Christ is your son. I know he died for me on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in a tomb. I know he rose again on the third day, just like he said he would. I know he's ascended to heaven. I know he sits at your right hand. I know he's coming back for his church before God unleashes his wrath, and I don't want any part of that. Please forgive me. I promise to follow you the best I can for the rest of my life, even if it's only a second. And pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, in your own words, and you don't have to worry about anything. I'm worried about everybody out there that hasn't accepted Jesus yet, including some of my own family. David, you got 55 seconds. Close us out on the first half of
terrific.
The show.
We're gonna look in the second half. What is this rapture thing all about? Do we just disappear? You know, I think there's been a lot of misconception, thanks to the rapture movies that were out there, Left Behind and whatnot.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of words. There's harpazo, which we've probably heard, but I don't know how many people have heard of analambano, which is a Greek word too, but it means to be received up. So we're really going to look into that, Lord willing. If we're still here, we'll catch you on the other side of all of these commercials because it's that fast. But don't go away. Stay with us. Arpazzo, Analambano, and the Rapture, right after these messages.
Amen.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Simon Gaitan. Attacks against Ukraine's Sumy region have intensified as Kyiv's incursion into Russia continues on its eighth day. A hospital and energy infrastructure came under missile strikes overnight. The Sumy region borders Russia's Kursk region, where Ukrainian troops launched a surprise cross-border assault more than a week ago. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
In the latest attack against Sumy, a Russian missile strike damaged a hospital building and energy infrastructure, including a power line and a gas pipeline in the city. At least one person was injured. Regional authorities said part of the city's population was without power and gas supply. The Sumy region sits right across the border from Russia's Kursk region, and this was where Ukrainian troops launched their surprise incursion from more than a week ago. A few days after the cross-border assault, Russian forces increased their use of guided aerial bombs near the border areas of Sumy, the regional governor said. About 20,000 people have been evacuated so far. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said in his nightly video address on Monday that the region has come under attack about 2,100 times by Russian cross-border strikes since June 1st. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
Only a Gaza ceasefire deal will prevent Iran and its proxies in the region from launching a direct attack on Israel in retaliation for the assassinations of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran and Hezbollah commander Fuad Shukr in Beirut. That's according to Reuters news agency, who cites senior Iranian sources. They claim that if talks this week fail, or Israel is perceived to be dragging out negotiations, Iran and its allies like Hezbollah will launch attacks. Western leaders have been urging de-escalation as regional tensions mount and have called for urgent ceasefire and hostage release negotiations without further delay. Protests are spreading across India after the rape and murder of a young female medic on Friday. Medical services are expected to be impacted in several cities as protesting doctors demand urgent action against the perpetrators and a safe working environment. Ishan Garg has more from New Delhi.
Doctors' unions say they are on an indefinite strike, one that may be causing inconvenience to patients in the short term, but is crucial for the longer-term safety of doctors across the country. Government-run hospitals in Delhi are now implementing contingency measures as the strike impacted several patients on Monday. Many had to be turned away as doctors opted out of holding consultations or conducting non-emergency surgeries. India's Health Ministry held talks with doctors on Monday, but it proved to be inconclusive. Doctors are demanding justice for the 31-year-old professional who was raped and murdered in a state-run hospital in the East Indian metropolis, Kolkata. They're also demanding stricter safety protocols for medical professionals in government hospitals. The police have arrested one accused in the case and say an investigation is ongoing, but that hasn't calmed the situation. Ishan Garg, New Delhi.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and that is Mr. David Paxton there on your left, if you're watching us in visual form. And we are, we're struggling to stay on YouTube. Hopefully we can be there, but if you see us go away, just go to Rumble or go to LastChristian.net or, you know, podcast, whatever. I don't know how long the world is going to allow us to be on. I really don't. And then again, it may not even come to play because we are talking today about the rapture and this could happen at any time. So will Christians really disappear in an instant? Well, I'm going to start this by saying, yes, maybe, no, maybe, yes and no, maybe.
We got to read it.
And you know, David, I know you've got scripture and unfortunately I wasn't able to get your slides done, but I want to read this one real quick. This is Matthew 27, verses 51 through 54, and I've got a reason for this particular passage. Go ahead.
Oh, somebody moved it. There it is. Oh, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
And what I really want to pay close attention to here, David, is that the fact that people were raised from the dead at that moment. And so this isn't a first time in history event that that people are going to experience when the rapture of the church occurred, right?
That is correct. That's not a first time thing. And people need to realize this. I talk about, were you going to say something?
No, I'm ready to be instructed here. Go ahead.
All right. So let's change our paradigm. We have this really weak, lame church mentality that, you say this prayer and then all of a sudden it's going to be wonderful and Jesus is going to bring you into heaven. Mm-hmm. Well, not exactly that. First of all, we'll be ruling and reigning on the earth with him. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth for us to live in because it was the original one that he designed. We're not just going to be floating around in heaven, you know, smoking cigars, playing harps on the clouds and stuff like that. We got this weird view of it all. We also have a weird view of, who's going to be saved. And people don't realize, they think everyone's lumped into one category. The elect. Okay, yeah, but there's different groups of elect. There's, there's a hierarchy, if you would, in the whole thing. We can see that even in the angels. You know, there's archangels, and then there's seraphim and cherubim, and they have different roles. Well, there's going to be different people groups. Even Jesus himself said that, I have sheep of a different fold, and I got to go talk to them. And the Jews are like, what? Huh? What? Right. I thought we were the chosen ones. Well, yeah, you are, but, there's other ones. Mm-hmm. It's not that there's other religions. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. There are other harvests, but it's still the same king. They're all saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Christ, the Savior, everyone is saved through him. But we'll have different roles in the kingdom. And that is panned out. John the Baptist said he was the greatest man ever, but the least in the kingdom shall be greater than he is. And he says the law and the prophets were until John. Now there's a new dispensation that's here, and that's what he calls it. And that dispensation is of grace. In other words, okay, now is the time for grace. And the Essenes and the Zadok priests from the Israel, not the Pharisaical ones, because they were evil, but the, you know, the Zadok ones, and let's like from Melchizedek, you know, that priesthood there, they taught there would be three major sections, the 2,000 years coming up to Abraham, and then the 2,000 years come to Christ, and then the 2,000 years, and then we have that millennium, that 1,000-year reign of Christ, and that would add up to the 6,000 years of earth history, and then that rest day for it, and it's all broken up that way. So we have to understand that, but he also gives us parables of the harvest. And there's different harvest as represented by the Jewish feast days. There's the wheat harvest and the barley harvest, which we've already seen that Jesus fulfilled in Passover and the resurrection. And then we have the, you know, the feast of Shavuot, okay, that came out, and we call that Pentecost. Well, there's a couple more harvests of the olives. Okay, that's another olive harvest that's coming up right now. And then there's the grape harvest, which comes up at the end, which is why we see in Revelation, don't hurt the oil and the wine. It represents, okay, a denarius for a measure of wheat and three measures of barley. He's talking about those harvests that came up, but don't hurt the oil and the wine, because we're going to see them later when the two witnesses are the oil trees, you know, mm-hmm. and the oil lamp. And then the grapes of wrath. We've heard that how many times? Because yeah. we see the different harvest times for different people groups that are coming. So we have different people groups or different harvests, okay? But each harvest has three parts to it. There's always the first fruits, which is as soon as anything ripens, you take that off and you give it to the Lord. It's the best part. This is the one that's going to promise. I'm going to give this to the Lord because he has promised us this abundant harvest. So this is my offering to him. Okay. Then there's the main harvest. Okay. That's where, boom, they get the vast majority of it. And then you'll see what you referred to as the gleaning. That means now after the main harvest, you go back and you get all the stuff that was left in the corners and whatnot. Right. That's why you'll see references when people say, oh, it says here that the angels will go to the four corners of the earth. Well, yeah, it's a reference to the final harvest, mm-hmm. not the main harvest.
Right.
So when you see in Matthew 24, he talks about, oh, the four winds, the angels and the four winds. And every time you see four winds, four corners, that is the final harvest. It's not the main harvest, and it's mm-hmm. not the first fruit. We even see there's a different harvest because 144,000 are called first fruits. Well, it must be a different harvest then.
right.
It's probably the Jewish harvest, because they'll be raised again, but not until after that. So that's mm-hmm. the first fruits of the Jewish harvest. Well, the first fruits of the church or the ecclesia is what we see here in Matthew 27:51 through 53. Okay. That's what we see. This is what is going to happen in the main harvest, but it was a little one. Mm-hmm. And it says, dead, rose from the graves, and walked around the holy city talking to people.
Yeah, and that had to be a shock.
Yeah.
That's an understatement, right?
Look at this. There's Aunt Bertha. Wow, she looks great.
It looks better than she did before, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She's 94. Now she looks like she's 25.
Yeah.
But they see all these people, and what happened? So what is the first fruits of this main harvest, what we call the rapture, coming? What did it look like? Well, their bodies were changed, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The graves mm-hmm. were opened,
mm-hmm.
and they came out of the graves, and they walked around for a while,
yeah,
and then it says, then they went up to be with Jesus.
Okay, now let me ask you this, because you're the Bible scholar. How long did these, do you have any idea? You may not. Do you have any idea how long that these people that came up out of their graves at the time of Jesus were walking around on the earth before they left.
We don't really have a time frame. Mm-hmm. Josephus talks about it too, and I think there was one part even talks about like these two brothers were some of the priests in there, and like they were talking. So he mentioned a few different people.
Yeah.
He talks about that too, and there's some other corroborating books. But Josephus is well known and accepted.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's right there, and it's just like God to do that. He'll just go drop a tiny little hint. Boop.
Right.
Well, I told you. You okay. Told me where. There's one verse right here.
Okay. Well, take a look at this one, David. This is Acts 1, and I know you wanted to. You've got a lot more to cover in there than what I
This pulled is part up, of it.
But at least we can get going with this. This is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, if you would like to read that one.
Who doesn't love Theophilus, right? I can name my cat Theophilus. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering and many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Okay, now this 40 days thing is something that we're going to talk about here, I'm sure, in a minute.
Yep.
The questions were, how come he would even be around? You know, why would he wait for 40 days? Well, I think it's pretty easy when you think about it that he needed to give the disciples instruction. He needed to let them know exactly what was going on, basically. And
yep.
And
by the way,
go ahead.
Because he never told them any of this.
No. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, he never told them nothing. So it says, in the days when he was taken up, that word there is analambano, which means up catching. It's an up. It was taken up. That's why it says he was taken up.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the harpazo, which is very similar. So we see the harpazo is snatched away.
Right.
Okay. So we see the same kind of language. And, you know, with people always say, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, yeah, neither is Bible in the Bible or computer. Or right. Mug. It was written in Greek here. So, but these are the words that we just use, and we got that word from the Latin.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, enough of that already.
Yeah.
So, but here's one, analambano, that was taken up. Harpazo is another one. Mm-hmm. Out of the midst, they use the word taken out of the midst. When we see the restrainer was taken out of the way, that's we see that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, there's a lot of different language that's used for the removal. But this is interesting here because they still think at this time in Acts chapter 1, Jesus raised from the dead. He says, oh, this is great. You know, remember we talked about Peter and John. They're on the boat and they're like, hey, throw your net on the right side. He's like, what? Yeah, Jesus. And he's got fish cooking already after they've been all night long, right? Mm-hmm. So he's messing with these guys for 40 days because he loves them so much. But check it out. What do they say? So Jesus is talking to him. He says, listen, you're going to do all these things. So for 40 days, he's gathering them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You're like, what? Going to send the Holy Spirit? Yeah, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they came together, they were asking him, okay, in verse 6, okay, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, if you want to look it up yourself.
Okay.
So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they still thought he was going to take over then.
Yeah, he's going to take over now. Yeah. Right.
They had no idea of this church thing they're talking about still, even after the resurrection.
Right.
And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed on his own authority. In other words, chill out, dudes. You'll figure it out. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even the remotest part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And And he leaves with that. Right. Listen, you're going to go to the whole world. I'll see you. In verse 9, and after he had said these things, he was lifted up.
I caught up with you here. Hold on, because I got that one. I'll put it up here for you.
After he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now look at the narrative here. As they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Mm-hmm. This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven."
Amen.
Look at the language here.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How is he going up? Well, they stood there watching him.
Yeah.
He's going up, and they said they're going to come back the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? He's going to come back, and people will be able to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's disappearing in an instant. Okay, there's number one. Doesn't look that way.
No.
All right? Because he said he'll come back the same way. So when he comes back, people will be able to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's go over to and Mark 16:19.
Okay.
You know, so he's talking about, in these things you'll do my name, you believe, we baptize and be saved. So he talks about in these signs will follow you, and he does it again. In my name you'll cast out devils, you'll speak in new tongues, you'll take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'll see you.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm. Where he is
so
now.
He's just like, he lays all this on him. Yeah, you're going to take over the world, and here's these cool things you're going to do. I'm out.
Yeah, I've done my job.
Yeah, you know, but it's the same word here, analambano. Yeah. He was received up into heaven. So we see that this is what happened after the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken up. So now we have people that during their resurrection, they were raised from the dead, and they walked around for a little bit. Clearly, they had their new bodies. He didn't raise them up like zombies to walk around. Everyone would freak out and run away. They had their new bodies, which allowed them to talk to people, which, according to the historians, that's what was the catalyst for the church to grow, is because people realized it didn't matter if they killed your body, because look what's going to happen next.
Right.
And they knew, that death didn't hurt. It didn't hurt. It was just like stepping over. And now look at this new body I got. So they were like, okay, bring it on. I'm going to go preach the gospel. You kill me, great. And look at my new body.
They weren't
afraid at all. And they saw the people rise from the dead. So they knew Christ was real, because not only he rose from the dead. And now if you didn't see him, are you going to believe all the stories, yada, yada, yada? But now you got everybody seeing all these different people rise from the dead. And these people are like, we were in like the paradise place. He came down. He's got some bees. He opened it up. Here we are. So it's cool. And then, now all of these witnesses from all sorts of different angles really caused the church to grow. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the language of the rapture, the most common ones, which one are they? Which are the most common ones, JD?
Well, I mean, you know, the way everybody has portrayed it is what you're talking about.
Well, the First Corinthians and
instantaneous. And that was what I always believed.
You know, but that's what we were taught, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. And I was always under the impression that Matthew 24 was a rapture. But it's not. You know, and I've had people argue that with me. But it's not. Read it. Read it carefully. You know, it's not.
You have the rapture.
Yeah,
you'll have,
that's not it.
You'll have the virgins that have come to the wedding. That's what they do. But that's not the church.
Nope, that ain't them. Okay.
All right. So
I've got this one. I'm going to put it up here.
Yeah, this Corinthians?
Is 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54.
So now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, let's keep those things in our minds here.
Right.
Okay. flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom, so you need the new body. This is part of the contract, right?
Right.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, what's a mystery? A mystery isn't something weird we think today. I'm going to go see a mystery movie and try and figure out who done it. Mm-hmm. No, a mystery was something marvelous that was not revealed yet. This is the idea for them. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Okay, that's interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Uh-huh. Right.
It doesn't say we disappear.
No, it does not.
It says we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right, now that's the same. Look at that language there. So here's this one moment in time when the entire body of Christ will be changed from what? From corruptible to incorruptible.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. So it's out of necessity that some of us will be alive at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us for the last 2,000 years will be dead.
Right.
But there will be a handful that will still be alive. But nonetheless, the entire church changes at that instant.
In an instant.
Mm-hmm. That moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
And if you look up Planck time, Max Planck, Planck, you'll discover that he actually discovered, quantum theory and how there is 10 to the 43 frames per second in life. So I believe it's between one of those. Yeah. But a 10 with 43 zeros, that's how fast the twinkling of an eye is.
Mm.
All right. Wow. So you can look that one up. And that's the only thing I can find here that would represent this in a quantum level, which is obviously God. So we're seeing this language. It doesn't say we disappear. It says our bodies will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible in the twinkling of an eye.
Right.
Well, that gives me insight to that first fruit. Those people's bodies were changed. It says bodies were changed, the grave was opened, and then when he rose from the dead, he came out, and they walked around the city. Mm-hmm. So there's a time period there.
Well, now that's one that we're going to get to it right now, okay? Because
I'm
taking this in order, okay? So let's go with this one. This is from 1 Thessalonians 4, and it is verses 15 through 17.
So follow me along here. Our bodies are changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what do? We glow in the dark. So JD and I have already decided for you guys, if we have time, our bodies are changed, and we still can walk around for a little bit, we're going to do a show in our glow-in-the-dark bodies.
Amen.
We don't know how that's going to work, but it sounds like.
Yeah, if God lets us do it, we'll do it.
We'll do it. All right, so 1 Thessalonians 15. 4:15. All right, here we go. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. See, that's what we talked about. Most people will be dead, but some of us will be alive until the end.
Right.
Will by no means precede those who are asleep. So the dead ones. Okay. We won't go before them. We're going to go at the same time. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the voice of the trumpet with the trumpet of God. So look at the narrative here and look at the succession of events. Mm-hmm. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, if it's a twinkling of an eye, there is no first.
Yeah.
We're all gone instantly.
Right, exactly. Okay?
No, it's a time frame here. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now look at the next word. Then, well, there's another time sequence.
Yep, right.
Then, which means afterwards, we who are alive and remain, so we must be remaining. If we remain, there must be a time thing, or we didn't disappear because we wouldn't be remaining.
Right.
Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And now we're back in Acts chapter 1, where he's going to come back the same way.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to see him come back, and they're going to see us go up. Mm-hmm. And we see in Genesis, we'll get to that eventually, I hope, but where Isaac, his mom died, and dad Abraham's like, Eliezer, go out and get my kid a bride from the Gentile nation over there, but not the bad ones. Go get one of the good ones from our cousins. Anyway, so he sends them out to get a bride. and the bride's going to do this and this and this and this. And that's how he's going to know it's the bride. Mm-hmm. But the same thing happened. Okay. Isaac was traveling and he came down off his horse. She came out and met him in the field and they were married.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we see that same picture of them coming together. So there will be a time frame. We won't just disappear. And that's why people think we're nuts sometimes when you say that. No, our bodies will be changed. Everybody knows that we have a spirit. Everybody knows we have a spirit. Everyone knows somewhere along the line we're going to get a new body. They just know it.
Right.
So when you explain that narrative, hey, well, I'm going to have my new body. It's going to come in an instant. And then we'll be able to come together and go meet the groom. It's the same picture as Isaac and Rebecca coming and meeting halfway. We'll meet him in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it says. So I don't know where they got the idea that we're going to all of a sudden we'll evaporate and then our clothes are going to be lying there.
Well, again, you know, that's what I always believed too. I really did, you know, and, but you are correct. If there wasn't a period of time, then it wouldn't be mentioned as a period of time. And it clearly is, you know, so, when the dead are raised from the dead, we have no idea how long it's going to be.
No.
I mean, we're all going to be, all of us are going to have the glorified body instantly. That's going to happen right away. We know that.
That's the instant. Corruptible to incorruptible. That's the instant.
Yeah, but we don't know how long we're going to stick around.
Right.
So, you know, I know this is new for a lot of you guys. It was new for me, too, when I was introduced to it a few months ago. And I didn't really want to believe it. And then the more I read and studied the Bible, it became clear that, yeah, there is a time frame there. Whether you can argue it any way you want to, but there is a time frame there. Maybe it's seconds. Maybe it's minutes.
I would take a shot at it. It might be 40 days just because that's how long Jesus was here. And maybe the first fruits went up with him.
Yeah, that's the reason that scripture in there today. That's exactly why I put that scripture in there today, because is that a hint of how long that it could take, David?
Go ahead. Yeah. So that might have been how long they walked around Jerusalem. You know, and we know Jesus went up, so they probably didn't hang around after Jesus was here. Right. So I would say it maxed out at 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
Maxed out. It's like, hey, where'd he go? So that's just a supposition. But one thing's for sure, we will find out.
Yes, we will. And
here's the cool thing: if you want to glow in the dark, and you want to have an incorruptible body, and even if you die before the rapture, you're still going to have that glowing, incorruptible body, and then you'll come out. You can walk around together with us because we'll all have the same bodies at that point. So it really doesn't matter if you're dead or not, because we're all going to look the same, just like they did back then. They came out of the grave, so. It's actually pretty simple. Jesus paid for your sins.
Amen.
You were required. The wages of sin is death. He says, in the days you eat thereof, you'll surely die. So we were born into this death, and death just means separation from God. So now someone has to pay off that contract. That was Jesus. He paid off with a blood contract. All you have to do is say, yes, I will accept that contract, Jesus. And my end of the contract is to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Lord willing, if we're still here, we'll not only see you on the next show, but we'll see you on the air or in the air. Have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.